This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everybody, and welcome to the sixth edition of the Brit Rest Roundtable. I think
it's definitely the sixth one.
Numbers. It is the sixth one. There we go. I am joined by, as you just heard, Arne and Ollie in what feels like a first time in quite a while at this point.
It's been a few months since we had a chance to have a chat. Not since the Red Fright weekend.
Yeah. Where if we just go straight into it, recently Raw Alternative, I think that was last Monday, happened, and that was focusing on British and European wrestling, as you did have WXW, the German promotion in there as well, but for the most part it was British promotions. Ollie, you got a chance to see that. What were your general thoughts?
I thought it covered quite a good range of promotions. There was Progress, there was Fight Club Pro, there was Attack Pro Wrestling, there was even WXW for Germany. And generally the matches they put on were like good representations of those promotions. Some of them weren't like incredible matches or anything. I don't think they wanted to give away their best stuff. But definitely something worth checking out if you still can. I'm not sure if a video's been taken down now, which would be a bit of a shame. My favourite matches on there, maybe Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tommaso Ciampa from the Progress Strong Style, Super Strong Style tournament. The Fight Club Pro tag match, Hunter Brothers versus, I can't even remember the team they face now, but yeah, definitely like a good range of stuff, and if you'd never seen a promotion there before, it was a good way to find out about promotions you may never have even heard about, so definitely good publicity for those promotions.
Yeah, it's I've seen a lot of people who've had their first exposure to the British scene, and for the most part, the reaction seemed pretty positive. Maybe not something for somebody who's already pretty into the British scene like us, but for a taster of it, seemed a very good. Good starting point. If we head on into the upcoming Progress show, which is Chapter 23, happening later this month, November 29th.
So Chapter 23, obviously following on from the end of Chapter 22, which saw Mark Andrews walk out and return, saving Will Ospreay from Paul Robinson's post-match attack. Chapter 22, one of the weaker shows from Progress this year, but still definitely something worth watching, and it's set up Chapter 23 quite nicely. This will be their final London show of the year, but it will be followed up by the show in Manchester the week after, so kind of a double header for them. And the first match that was billed for this show coming up on November 29th is another Natural Progression Series match. They tend to put their Progress, the Projo Training School graduates into one match, three or four of them in the NPS, and this is that match. Jack Sexsmith versus Damon Moser versus Shen Wu. Do you guys have any experience with watching these guys, or would this be like new to you?
Absolutely none at all. All those names. Well, I've heard the names, so I haven't seen the wrestlers at all.
I've seen a bit of Damon Moser, just his like Progress main show stuff, which hasn't been. He was involved with the Faceless and briefly with the Origin.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen too much of him. And then Shenwu, I don't think I've seen him ever. Like, I know him to see him, but I don't think I've ever seen him wrestle a match. And Sexsmith, I've heard a lot about, but this will be my first exposure to the guy.
Okay. Well, possibly the most important thing about this match would be Jack Sexsmith's debut in the ballroom, because he's been getting quite good reactions on Endeavor shows with his sexually frivolous, morally ambiguous gimmick, I think is the term. And when I saw him against Teddy Dennis live, he was definitely a standout on that show with the Mr. Coco gimmick, which was pretty tremendous. I don't know if either of you guys have seen the Endeavor show he was on. He's been on a few of them recently, but he's definitely been a standout for them. And so I'd say he's probably favourite to win this match and go on, because he's definitely someone they'll want to look to feature more, because he is a very funny guy, and maybe not like a wrestler's gimmick, but still very fun to see and good undercard guy to have around. Shenwu, if you guys have never seen him, I've really not seen much of him. I've only seen him in really short matches, so this would be a big opportunity for him to show what he can do to people, for people, because he really hasn't had an opportunity to really shine on those Endeavor shows.
From what I have seen of Jack Sexsmith, which isn't a lot, he seems like one of those people who, when you're watching him, you're enjoying him, but then if someone who's not a wrestling fan walks up behind you while you're watching him, you quickly close the screen.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to explain that one to someone walking in, seeing Eddie Dennis jam a condom down Sexsmith's throat.
yeah, but I'm sure it will go down a hoot with the Progress boring crowd. So you're predicting Sexsmith advances here?
Or Moser, because they seem to like Moser. I really haven't seen anything out of him. He seems very generic, and like the other two guys are a bit more like excitable and a bit more gimmick guys, whereas Moser is pretty much just a straight wrestler. I just don't think he's a very good wrestler right now, and so he kind of needs something to jazz him up a little while he gets to a better level. Or it could even be Shenwu, because I think they like Shenwu as well. Obviously, they like all three guys if they're ready to put them on the chapter show. I'd say Sexsmith, just because the gimmick will carry him.
I thought we were going to go completely on the fence there, all here, and go, well, it could be this guy, it could be this guy, yeah. It could also be this guy. They're going for Sexsmith, then.
Yeah, I'll put my money on Sexsmith.
He's definitely the guy with the most buzz going in, so it would make sense.
The next match would be Tommaso Ciampa versus Marty Scurll, a match that was set up at Chapter 22. When, after Marty Scurll's victory over Flash Morgan Webster, which we covered on the previous show, talking about like how effective that was to build his character. Ciampa comes out after Scurll mentions going to NXT, and sets up this match for this show. Yeah, it's pretty much just a headline match, not too much story heading into it. I guess Ciampa took offense to Scurll's comment about like how he could easily walk into NXT, whereas Ciampa had to fight hard for years to get there. I don't know what you guys think of Ciampa's run in Progress so far.
It's been mixed, often in the same match. The match with Mark Haskins, I know you weren't overly keen on that one, Ollie. But like, I can understand why, because the start of it was very, very silly. But then when it sort of got gathered pace and became serious, with Haskins kind of dragging Ciampa into a more serious wrestling match, I thought it was really good. And with Marty Scurll, I've been saying since we started doing these things that I feel Scurll is only as good as his opponent. But he definitely changed my opinion of him by kind of carrying almost Flash Morgan Webster last time out. So yeah, I'm real excited about this one. I think it's going to be a solid match.
Yeah, Ciampa's always a guy who he seems to really want to put together these epic matches, but never quite seems able to do so. He always wrestles like it's a huge match, even when it doesn't necessarily feel like one. I'm not sure if that I'm making any sense there, but
yeah, I understand that. Like, I thought, especially with the Mark Haskins match, yes, it was the match before intermission, so that they could do a lot more. I just felt like, especially after the start of that match, which was so, like, jovial, that they just immediately turned on as if they'd been wrestling for 20 minutes in the WrestleMania main event, and it was good. It was certainly good action. I'm not denying that. It just didn't fit in. We covered this a lot more on the previous podcast, so I won't go into it in too much, but yeah, I definitely get that.
Yeah, I kind of missed out on that one, but from where I was sitting, it was very much that Haskins was kind of irritated into forcing Ciampa to have not the serious match. So it kind of worked for me, but I think it was probably a little bit too much silliness at the start. With Marty changing to the full on heel character that he's now gone to, he's tried to eliminate all that kind of fun stuff. So if they have a real serious match, I think it's going to be a good one. And that sense epic that you kind of get from Ciampa, his attempts to do so anyway, I think it could give it a big match atmosphere too.
Definitely. How do you feel Skrull's character will mesh with Ciampa's? Because Ciampa basically played the heel in his match against Haskins. But here he'll definitely be playing the face, especially after, well, obviously he's going up against big heel Skrull, but Ciampa really, like, egged that whole babyface side in his post-match promo at Chapter 22. So it's definitely, like, a guy who loves progress versus a guy who now despises it. How do you feel that's going to mix together?
It certainly created an interesting dynamic between the two. I mean, there's nothing more pure about wrestling than the babyface who's standing up for everyone in the crowd versus the heel who hates everyone in the crowd. It's wrestling 101, really. But the skill that they have between them and the experience, so that should be able to take it to a whole other level. So they've got the basics that should allow the crowd to latch onto it immediately, and then they've got the complexity that they should bring that'll take it to another level. How do you feel, Rob?
Skrull and Ciampa are guys that when their matches really work, I really get into them and I really enjoy them. But they are people who I wouldn't say they're the most consistent of wrestlers. you can have matches where on paper it looks like a great match with them in it, and then it delivers and it's fine but nothing special. I mean, like, I think Marty Skrull versus AJ Styles was a prime example from that. When Styles won the title, that was just, on paper, it looked great, and then it was just fine. It was pretty good, but it wasn't what you expected going in. And I think Ciampa's a similar sort of wrestler. I think at very least this will be good, and there's a chance it will be great, but there's obviously the same chance that it's just
fine. Well, I like that AJ match a lot more than you, so I guess I'm more optimistic coming into this. But yeah, for me, it looks like it's going to be a good one.
We also have to think about Ciampa facing Zack Sabre Jr. a week after this in Manchester. Obviously, Skrull and Sabre Jr. are tied together somewhat, even though Skrull's now turned heel. Do you think that'll play into the finish at all?
I doubt it. They've been pretty separated in progress for a while now, so I don't think it will directly play in. But maybe they'll play off it. Say Ciampa beats Skrull and then uses that as like, well, I've already beaten your partner. Now I'm going to beat you when he faces Zach. But I don't think it will be like a run-in or anything.
No, and there's also it's a different crowd. You don't know how many of the London crowd are going to be at the Manchester show. So that might play into it. They might want to aim at a different
audience. It depends how they bill Ciampa Sabre Jr. It could just be like an exhibition dream match sort of thing. Although it is also a rematch of their Super Strong Style match. So there's a bit on the line there. I don't think they probably will play up the Skrull and Sabre Jr. relationship just because they're now on different sides of the heel face divide. But it's certainly something to think about and certainly something that could play into the finish. The next match is also another Super Strong Style rematch. Rampage Brown, who was the winner of that match, will go up against the returning Big Daddy Walter. Are you guys excited to see Walter again?
Yes, in theory, but these two, their first match they had in the Strong Style 16, it didn't do a lot for me. But, you know, I'm hoping this is, they get more featured here. They're not like, buried towards the bottom of a long Strong Style card. I like Walter in general. He's a fun hoss to, you know, he just throws people around. He's a huge man. And in theory, Brown should be a great opponent for him. They're two big guys who can just hit each other hard. And there's a few things in wrestling I enjoy more than seeing two big guys just hit each other. But yeah, their previous match together has me less infused than I should be to see Walter back in progress.
I would hope to be proved wrong, but I'm not really expecting that much, to be honest. And I'll probably have a bit of a slobber knocker, but it depends how, you know, enthusiastic they are with it. They could just coast by on what they're bringing and not really take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think with Rob saying that they're going to get a lot more of a chance to show what they can do than in the tournament, because in the tournament they were, what, match 3 of a 9 or 10 match card? They didn't get a lot of chance to, like, go all out. I think here they'll be a lot more featured. They could even be the pre-intermission match. So they will get a lot more chance to go further. They'll be able to play off their previous match. And I think Volta's a guy who is better when he's like Shelton Benjamin in this regard, when he's got something going for him, when he's enthusiastic and motivated, he can really put on something special. When he's not really given much, like in the Strong Style 16, when he was just given one match and then he was out, I don't think he delivers quite as much. So if they put him in a big match, I think they could really do something with him. If he gets a win, maybe they're going to team him with Zack Sabre Jr. for Zack Daddy in Chapter 24. Just fantasy booking. That could be something interesting to watch out for. Rampage Brown isn't really a guy who needs to be protected too much, so I think they might give victory to Volta, and that could improve the match as a result.
Yeah, could do. Going in, I'm not expecting too much, but I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I'm keeping expectations low, but I think it could produce something. Yeah.
I'm never going to be upset at a match over-delivering.
Yes, how dare they have a better match than I expected. It's an outrage.
Moving on to another match, Paul Robinson versus Mark Kaskins in a battle of the two guys who have been defeated by Will Ospreay so far. So, in a way, it's sort of like a title eliminator kind of thing, almost, like the loser of this match will fall out of title contention, potentially. What do you think about the dynamic heading into this one?
Given that the match between... I think the Robinson title shot, I think that's about as good as it's going to get for him and Ospreay. I can't really see them having something better than that. But the Haskins match was already better than that. It was, I think, clear over 4 stars. I think he had it at 4.5, Ollie, if memory serves correctly. So I can see them wanting to build Haskins back up for another match with Ospreay, and I'd watch that. I think it'd be really good.
Yeah. Haskins Ospreay was one of my personal favourite matches of Progress history. So if this is their way of pushing Haskins back up into title contention, then I'm all for it.
They could definitely do that. They could definitely go straight back to Haskins for Chapter 24, because Ospreay doesn't have an opponent for that show. He doesn't really have an obvious opponent, and I don't think they're going to want to go to Skrull straight away. I think Ospreay versus Skrull is kind of a money match right now. Like, it's pretty much the two best guys on the regular UK scene. I don't think they're going to want to go to that immediately with Ospreay's fourth defense, unless they want to give the title to Skrull. I think they want to have Ospreay run it a little longer and then move into a bigger match with Skrull later next year. So I think Haskins could definitely be a guy who they'll give another title match to really put that Chapter 24 show over the top, because they'll want to put on the best show possible without giving too much away, I think. And obviously they've got Ciampa, Sabre Jr., which is a really big match coming up for 24. So it's something to consider when looking at Robinson Haskins. There's also potential for, you still got to keep Robinson strong, because he is still one of the more major heels. Perhaps they reignite regression. I don't want to second guess this one too much, but it should be a really good match, because Robinson, I think, is an underrated singles guy. I think he's had some really good matches in Progress in 2015, and Haskins is obviously tremendous. Even though I underrated his match with Ciampa, I still thought the action towards the end was very, very good, and if he could recreate that sort of thing with Robinson, that'd be really awesome. So yeah, I'm definitely hyped for this one.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the match itself. I can see these two playing off each other really well, especially with Robinson's new really aggressive style. I think that'll... go ahead.
I thought Robinson's character really shone through in the match with Ospreay, and if they want to keep hammering that home here, being really aggressive, like unhinged, they definitely could. I think they've got something really good going with Robinson. He's not really featured prominently anywhere else in Britain. So if they want to keep Robinson strong, getting a big win over Haskins.
There's always the possibility of him having a rematch with Jimmy Havoc, who is conspicuously absent from this card.
Definitely. I thought that may have been one of the things that let Chapter 22 down, a lack of Havoc. So if they want to really deliver with Chapter 24, they could bring Havoc back against Robinson there. But this is all speculation, and focusing on the match, it should be definitely good. I think their styles will mesh really well.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting a Haskins win, because I've kind of got it in my head that I want him to take another run at Ospreay. But either way.
It is an interesting match in that both guys can't really afford to lose at this point, both in, you know, kayfabe and in booking perspective, because the loser will kind of lose a bit of stock. Like I say, they're the two title challenges, they're very high up on the card, and so a loss kind of damages them a little bit. So it's a bit intriguing that they put these guys together. Perhaps, I don't know.
Interesting to see how it plays out.
Shall we move on to the final match?
Sure.
That has been announced so far, with the Progress Championship match, Will Ospreay versus Mark Andrews, which is a killer match, and one I'm guessing you guys are both looking forward to.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just watched the bowler match they had the other day, and in 10 minutes they just absolutely blew the crowd away. I know they've worked before together in Progress, but Ospreay has come on since then even. And this should be a hell of a main event.
They are very familiar with each other. Obviously, they have the bowler match, which extended them to a larger audience. So even if it's just a complete repeat of that match, I don't think anyone would complain. They'll obviously work off that match. They'll work off the previous matches they've had in Progress, because the reason why Andrews has been granted the title shot is because Ospreay has never beaten him in Progress. So that's an interesting twist and it's part of making Ospreay look a little more vulnerable as a champion. He started off his reign with a big win over Haskins and looking unbeatable. Against Robinson, he looked very much vulnerable and only barely won that match. He didn't win it decisively. So coming up against the guy, coming up against a guy who he's never beaten before in progress, it puts him in a bit more jeopardy, and presumably he's going to win. And so that would really be like a scalp for him if he could take on like big American star Mark Andrews, and get that victory.
Yeah, Andrews is certainly a good fit for the main events that Ospreay's been having. Those past couple of main events, they've been very exciting. They've been very spot heavy, and they've been pretty clean and crisp. And that's what Andrews can do, and he can bring that same sort of style. It's going to be a good match, pretty sure.
So we're seeing no chance of a title change here.
I don't think so, no. I think Andrews has been more than put there as another obstacle for Ospreay to get over, as opposed to a possible switch.
Do we think Andrews is going to stick around in progress?
I'm not sure.
He's been back in the UK for about a month now, and he's been working all around. I presume he'll be back over Christmas as well, but I don't know what the TNA schedule is looking like. They're going to India soon, I believe.
Well, they are. So they are doing a UK tour in sort of end of January. So I don't know. They definitely want to retain him for that, in terms of like, you know, keeping him around. But maybe he'd be able to work around that. I don't know. I'm not seeing him being a regular.
If he does become a regular again, I'd like to see him used back in the tag team with Eddie Dennis. Cause
definitely.
More for Dennis than Andrews, because Dennis is really
He's been coasting horribly.
Partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
And FSU back together would definitely help Dennis, and it would also give Andrews a thing to do without after presumably losing this match here.
FSU are a great tag team, and they're definitely kind of missed on the progress shows. It would provide depth of the tag division. Yeah, I can't see any bad reasons not to keep Andrews around if he is going to stay around. And if he's available, that is definitely something that they should look at doing, bringing back FSU, putting them back into the tag team fold, because the tag team division in progress is exciting with the Origin, with Death Squad, with Riots, but it is a little, it isn't deep. So adding another team in there can keep that, like, really good circulation of teams going for a bit longer than. Because it looks really good right now, but I think it has kind of a limited shelf life. If FSU come back, they can obviously they can make the rounds and face the Origin, face SDS, and that provide a lot of exciting matches, a lot of potentially main event matches for them in 2016. And speaking of like SDS and Riots, they're currently not on the show, but we still have another Match News Monday still to come before, or even two. Still to come before Chapter 23 is on. So, do you guys want to try and speculate as to what other matches, presumably the Origin, will be involved?
I think we might see the Origin get a title shot against the Death Squad here.
Would you say that'd be the Mastiff and Gibson team, or?
I definitely say Mastiff would be involved. I'm not sure who would be with, but with Mastiff getting the pin on, was it Dante or End?
I think it was Tommy End. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would be the title match there, and with the Death Squad defending the titles and then going on to face the Riots in Manchester. I'm not sure where you'd slot. The Riots in, perhaps the other two members of the Origin could be their opponents here, but they might just not be on the cards, because we've already got five matches here. usually progress shows go around 6 or 7 matches deep. So if there was just a tag title match added here and nothing else, it wouldn't totally shock me.
Yeah, they have had shows this year with only 6 matches on, so potentially a 7th match. But yeah, definitely the Origin will be involved somehow, because that is a big angle they're building around.
Overall, what are you, from what's announced so far, what are you thinking of this card compared to the previous one, where we all seem to be pretty unanimous in thinking it was one of the weaker shows of this year?
I think with the amount of potentially big-time singles matches on there, you know, you've got 4 like really big deal singles matches with special attractions, like title contenders and the title match itself. I think at least one of those matches is going to deliver big time. It's just like there's enough of them there that they can't all disappoint. With Chapter 22, I think it was kind of built around that 8-man brawl, which was never going to be a great match.
It was a hot mess.
And, like, it wasn't given a much chance to like really succeed as a work rate kind of show. This one, like, I think when you look at who's on the show, where they're positioned, one or two of those matches is going to be really good and really something to talk about and get excited about. What do you guys think?
I think when you compare it to the previous show, especially if we're predicting that the Death Squad are going to be in the title match, to add to what's already announced, while the high-end stuff is probably at a similar level to what we had on the last show, they've really got a much deeper show than Chapter 22 was. We've had varying opinions on the Brown Walter match, the Skrull Ciampa match, but I think with both those matches, there's at least a chance they're great. And then when you add that to the Robinson Haskins, the Ospreay Andrews, and the expected Sumerian Death Squad defense, there's enough stuff there that even if one or two matches are a little disappointing, it's deep enough that the show as a whole, I'd expect to still be good. And that's kind of where Chapter 22 suffered. It really only had 3 big matches, and with one or two of them being disappointing, you've kind of got yourself a bad show, or not a good show. Whereas this one, it can afford to have one or two matches maybe not quite deliver the way you'd expect them to, and the show as a whole can still be very enjoyable.
Oh yeah, now I'm looking at the card, I'm thinking it's going to be a good show, I'm looking forward to it. I've seen a lot less progress than both of you, but I'm looking forward to the next one, Chapter 23.
Right, so I think we're about done with the progress talk for this show. We're all looking forward to the show. That will be up on Progress On Demand, which, for those of you who might not have seen, they've recently released an offer with Pro Wrestling Ponderings, the website which covers a variety of indie wrestling companies. And you can, for your first time you subscribe to Progress On Demand, you can get the first month for just 99 cents, which is obviously a lot cheaper than the current price, which is still pretty reasonable at, I think it's $7.95-ish, something like that. But, you know, less than £10, which is a good deal anyway, but for less than $1, you can now get a month's worth of progress to try it out, which if you were using the price point as an excuse not to get into progress previously, you even less of an excuse now. You can find that over on Pro Wrestling Ponderings, as I mentioned, but also there's a link on the Voice of Wrestling forums to the coupon code. So
yeah, this is an offer that you can't refuse.
You'd be a fool to. Moving on then, our next show that we're looking forward to that's coming up shortly is the, and I'm going to botch this name because I can't do words properly. I think it's pronounced the Tetsujin Strong Style Tournament. This is an event that's happening up in Liverpool, and it's a first ever show for that's being run for. Well, it's not really a promotion. It's more of a one-off show, and it's being run by a podcast, a wrestling podcast team, based in Liverpool, the Sunday Falsies. And they're putting together a shoot style tournament, similar in kind of themes to what you might have experienced in UWFI or more recently in Sakuraba's match with Suzuki at Wrestle Kingdom, where it's under the rules of knockouts or submissions only, so no pinfalls. So you've got eight guys here from across the UK. Hopefully participating in a great night of action.
Certainly an interesting concept they've got going there. The like UWF when they kind of ironed the rules out was a really, really good promotion, and the action in it was fantastic because they tried to keep it really snug, realistic style of wrestling. If they can do that, if the guys they've got are capable of doing that, then it should be a really good night. Certainly different to any of the other promotions that we've got knocking around.
This is something like...
Yeah, that's definitely a plus for this promotion or show or whatever. Because if you were booking these eight guys who are in the tournament just on a card, it probably wouldn't garner too much attention. These are, for the most part, mid-level UK indie talents, but they've just made it so different by the branding that they put into it and the different rule set to what we're used to. They've definitely done a good job at making this show stand out.
It looks like they're trying to kind of appeal to the MMA crowd as well and try and get some crossover appeal. Seems what it, because the early UFC shows were all tournament based, so maybe they're going for that as well as the pro wrestling crowd. Whether it'll work or not, I don't know.
They've done a really good job marketing it and presenting it as something like really unique, something that like we've never seen before, particularly. And I think the guys they've got, for the most part, like, really fit the theme very well. And as long as it's more like that Suzuki-Sakuraba match you mentioned, and less like the grapple-fuck style, this could be a really, really strong show.
Yeah, so if we're running through some of the guys in the tournament, we've got Zach Gibson is facing Jack Gallagher in one of the first round matches, two guys who have recently... well, fairly recently become Progress regulars. That's a match I'm very much looking forward to. I can see their styles really working together, especially under this rule set. Both guys got a very technical style. I'm expecting to see a lot of submissions here. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Gallagher, I think he's pretty good, but a lot of people think he's great, and I'm yet to see that. I think this is really a chance for him to stand out and really win against the guy I'm a big fan of.
His style is definitely going to suit the what they've got going on, Gallagher. Gibson, I'm not quite as keen on. I think he comes across as a bit overly mechanical. I don't think he's as technically good as some of the other guys involved. Maybe that's a bit of a controversial opinion. It might just be that he's a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I'm so into
it. Well, that makes sense, I suppose.
I assume we're getting the more straight-laced version of Jack Gallagher here and less of the extraordinary theatricals that we see in Progress now. I think Gibson is actually a pretty strong technical guy. I remember his match with Zack Sabre Jr. in the Progress Super Strong Style tournament, and he didn't quite keep up with Zack, but he certainly like showed off his skills equally as well. So I think he definitely fits the Tetsujin shoot style theme that they're going for. And he's a guy who could like win the whole thing, potentially.
I think part of his problem, Gibson, is that he's thinking about moves before they take place, and you can kind of see that in the way that he works, whereas with this kind of style, if it'll be more mat-based, I think that'll help him. And like I say, he is a possible winner, because he's the only one from Liverpool, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. I'm not entirely sure where Moss is from.
I've heard Johnny Moss, and he didn't have a Liverpool accent, so he's not from there.
Okay, that probably means he's the only one from Liverpool. Which means he'll also be working face, which will be really weird. Because he's like an ultra heel in progress where I'm most familiar with him. Although I have seen him on like the NGW TV show where he works like ultra babyface, and it's just strange.
Yeah, so the match next to them in the bracket, so the winner of Gibson and Gallagher will be facing the winner of John Moss and Dave Mastiff. This is a bit of a hoss fight. John Moss is his look kind of reminds me of the strongman, the New Japan Gaijin from a few years ago now, a slightly less inflated version of Strongman, but a big muscular guy nonetheless.
Yeah, and Johnny Moss can actually wrestle. Which puts him one up on Strongman.
I'm not overly familiar with Moss, but the little I have seen of him has been very impressive.
Yeah, I've probably seen him more than you guys have, because he's been around for so long. I actually saw him sort of back in the day as well. Remember seeing him wrestle Doug Williams on, I think it was the 3CW show or somewhere like that. And that was very, very technically good. I can't imagine he's deteriorated all that much. I've not seen him for a few years. But yeah, technical skill-wise, I've not seen anyone else on the bracket that's on his level. And he's very big as well in terms of muscle mass. So it'd be interesting to see where the booking goes, because I was looking at Moss and Mastiff and thinking that could be the final, and it's the first round match. So it'd be interesting. See who comes out of that one.
I'm definitely interested to see how Mastiff adapts to this style of match, where you can definitely see him going down the knockout route, I guess, but. Mastiff style doesn't necessarily immediately translate to the shoot style rule set that they're using.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to work under those sorts of rules.
He's not really a grappler kind. I'm guessing he's more in there for the striking, like knockout artist kind of guy than the technical ability.
He can throw a few suplexes, though, so they might go for something a little along those, like a big, big throws kind of match, which I'd be all for. Like a Brock Lesnar style throwing people around, because they can both do it, so that could be real fun.
Mastiff's definitely in terms of the tournament, guys who are in the tournament, he's probably the highest profile guy in the tournament. But personally, I'd like to see Moss advance here. Because while this first round match will be fun, you know, you've got two big guys in there. In terms of the technical work that you're going to expect further later on in the tournament. Moss would definitely fit better into that sort of style.
I'm not sure how good Dave's cardio is to last through three matches either, so I'd be surprised if he went a long way. It might just be that's why they've paired them up, is so that they can have some fun with Mastiff and then move on.
Mm. He's probably the biggest star.
Mastiff wrestled I think Mastiff wrestled a couple of times at a PCW show recently, so it's not beyond him to pull double or triple duty, but a guy of his size, maybe you're not wanting to wrestle three times.
Yeah, especially the demands of a tournament are that not only does it get harder because you've been wrestling, you know, once, twice already, but when you get to the final, there's an expectation that that final is going to be, if not the best match of the night, it's got to be up there. And if you've been through two matches already, that just makes it all the harder. And like I say, I'm not totally knocking him or anything by saying that he might have bad cardio, but he's carrying a lot of weight around, and it's tough to do that.
Right, so moving over to the opposite side of the bracket, we've got Dan Maloney facing Michael Gilbert. Michael Gilbert, who some might be more familiar with...
Mikey Whiplash.
Dan Maloney isn't a guy I don't think I've ever actually seen him wrestle, so I'll have zero opinions on him, but Gilbert, in his brief progress run, where he was working under the no gimmicks required, Michael Gilbert, after saying no gimmicks required, it's kind of weird to call that a gimmick, but under his stripped back Michael Gilbert persona, he definitely impressed me and looked really good technically, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in this tournament.
This is probably the match that intrigues me most from the first round, because obviously you've got Gilbert, who's like a veteran presence, and also he's working like the straight lace gimmick, which I like. I don't think Mikey Whiplash would have really fit into this, but I think he has the skills as Michael Gilbert to deliver something cool here. But Dan Maloney, 18 years old, he's been working a lot of guys like similar to Michael Gilbert, like more veteran guys, like big guys, and I think it's really rubbing off on him, because he's really improved over the last year, become a more complete wrestler than just like a big hoss throwing people around. He's not a technical wrestler by any means. He's definitely more on the knockout artist side, but he's become a guy who in these kind of matches could really show off what kind of skills he's developing, because he is one of the guys who's going to build the future of British wrestling. And it'd be interesting to see if they actually put him over Gilbert here, or whether he just looks valiant in defeat.
Well, the possibility is that he's going to go up against one of the other younger guys, because Bate and Brooks is the other first round match. And that would be an interesting match for Maloney, given his experience. He's wrestled Tyler Bate before, right? Quite a few times. Well, they're a tag team. I've forgotten. Yeah, it's one way around or the other. I remember seeing them together.
I think they've done both.
But yeah, Dan Maloney, I've only seen him once, and he looked pretty green, pretty raw, inexperienced. He was playing like a generic heel role. But there's definitely potential there. He's just young.
Yeah. I mean, both Bate and Maloney are kind of in the same model of, like, they're very young, very green, but like you can see that they have acres of potential.
Probably not quite seeing quite so much in Maloney that I've seen with Tyler Bate. I think that might just be because Tyler's physical condition is so good that that's helping him along. But like I say, Maloney must have progressed.
We can move straight across to the final first round matchup, which we'll go on to face the winner of that Maloney Gilbert match. That's Tyler Bate versus Chris Brooks. As you mentioned, Tyler Bate is a guy who he's really been talked up a lot, and deservingly so. I think he's still 18. He might be 19 now, but I'm pretty sure he's still 18. And he is brilliant for how inexperienced he is.
His body is ridiculous for somebody who's that young. He's got incredible muscle definition for a kid, basically. But then when he broke in, I mean, like, he was, what, 15, 16 years old when he first started working? And he looked okay then, but now he's really cut. So in terms of presence in there, he's going to, I don't know if I'd say he's the strongest looking guy on his side of the card, but he's up there.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Chris Brooks? Because when I saw him announced for this show, I was kind of... I raised my eyebrow a little bit because he doesn't fit the mold of the other guys particularly.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't... He's more of like a cruiserweight wrestler. He doesn't leap off the page as like a shoot-style technical wrestler to me.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean there. It should be an interesting match between him and Tyler, just to see what happens in it. See how Brooks can do it with the with that whole gimmick that they've got going on in Tetsujin. I think Bate will win against Brooks. What do you think, Ollie?
I would say so as well. Like I say, Brooks is, I feel like he's kind of the one, the odd man out of the eight. And also, if they do decide to give Maloney the big win over Gilbert, Maloney Bate is a match, that could definitely be really good because those guys know each other really well. I think they've worked each other a few times here in Birmingham. So, if they want to give a big rub to one of the 18-year-olds and put them in the final, which I could see them doing, that would definitely be a good way to go. And putting them up in the final against, like, a Gibson or a Mastiff, like a bigger star up in the north, would be a really interesting dynamic.
I've kind of got in my head that it's going to be Tyler Bate against Johnny Moss in the final. I don't know why, but it's like Moss is like the elder version of Tyler Bate. He's like a massive grown-up version of the same guy.
Yeah, definitely.
So that could be an interesting match if it does come down to that.
And then to add to these tournament matches, they've also got a WXW showcase match, which is going to be Tommy End facing Big Daddy Walter in what should be a great addition to the cards. You know, they'll probably slot this in between the semi-finals and the finals, so whoever's wrestling second in the semi-finals doesn't have to go twice in a row. And that looks like a hell of a match. The two guys are very familiar with each other. They've had some great matches in the past, and End's one of the guys who's been able to get the very best out of Walter. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that one as well.
I take it that's going to be under the same rules.
I haven't seen anywhere them saying it's not going to be, but at the same time, I haven't seen them saying it is. So, who knows? Probably.
I'm going to assume that it is. If that's the whole gimmick of the promotion, then you'd think it would be. So it'd be a little odd to go from one set of rules to another just between matches. But yeah, it should be a good match under those rules anyway. Because I mean, Tommy End is one of the best strikers I think we've got in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, knockout rules are.
They suit
completely
him.
Designed for End style, yeah.
Yeah, that should be a good addition to the card. But they always need something to break it up when you've got a tournament on, because that, like you say, the semi-final into final, you can't have one guy, you know, exhausted in the ring and then the other guy comes out fresh and just beats him up. It's you wouldn't have that in a real
sport.
Well,
as far as like special attraction matches go, it's one of the best I've ever seen, really. Like, putting the two, well, one of them's Austrian, but the two guys from WXW in there, it separates them a little bit from the British guys, so that's like kind of hand waves why they're not in the tournament itself. But it should be a pretty damn awesome spectacle.
Do you know if it's going to be available on demand? Are they going to stream this one afterwards, or...?
Yes. They announced... fairly recently, that not only is it going to be on DVD, which they had announced previously, but it's also going to be on some form of on-demand service shortly after the event itself. They haven't yet announced where it's going to end up in terms of like which service, but I expect Vimeo On Demand or someplace similar to that. But it's going to be available to everyone online, not just like. If it was stuck on DVD, then I'd be far less likely to buy it. But since it's on demand, I'm definitely going to give this a watch. I'm very intrigued.
Likewise. Were you thinking of going to the show, Ollie?
I'm tempted. It's only a week from now, isn't it? So I should probably get my skates on if I am going to go. If I did, were to go, you'd have to probably stay overnight. I'm not sure. This isn't really a podcast conversation, just to mull over my weekend plans, but it is very tempting.
If it wasn't on a Friday, I might give it a go, but If it was on Saturday or Sunday, I'd be more likely. But I think I'm going to give it a pass. But as I said, I'll definitely be checking it out on demand, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm at work, so I definitely can't go.
If you're in Liverpool, though, you know, I think we know what you're doing on Friday evening.
Should be a no-brainer for the guys up there. So it's kind of an area of the country that doesn't get a lot of big shows or interesting shows, so it's nice for them to have something different up there.
Like NGW runs there quite a bit, I think, but there's no like set promotion for Liverpool, so maybe that's a market that the Sunday Falsies can move into potentially.
Right, and speaking of, check out this great segue. Speaking of on demand,
I was originally going to use that to seg into the next bit, but then kind of got into talking about the show and Ollie going, so that kind of ruined it. Sorry, Rob.
Well, I'll take full credit for it then. Speaking of on-demand and streaming services, IPW UK has recently launched their new on-demand service. I don't think they've got a proper name for it as such. It's just... but they're using the Pivot Share service. So if you've used the Progress On Demand or no Demand Progress service in the past, it's the same software behind it. I think CZW also uses the same software. So it's kind of become the standard for streaming services that aren't New Japan World or
The Network.
Or The Network, or Beyond Demand, actually, as well. I think that's going through YouTube. But other than that, most of them seem to go through Pivot Share, and IPW UK has jumped on that train as well.
I think it's probably overdue. I mean, they've been, I wouldn't have said a major promotion, but they've been a big promotion for the UK for a long time, going back about 10 years. And they've just kind of fallen out of the public eye a little bit. I'd say last, three, 4 years, they've not quite been making the splash that they were before. They've not really been
the
premier promotion, which they kind of slipped into that spot after the whole 1PW thing. IPW UK was one of the foremost promotions, kind of almost by default, but they did a really good job of it. But when RevPro came along and got a little bit more ambitious than them, they've just kind of slipped into second place.
Well, RevPro actually like came out of IPW, because originally IPW UK changed its name to RevPro, and then there was a split, and then IPW UK reemerged. So I think it's almost like the spiritual successor from like the mid to late 2000s IPW is actually RevPro, while IPW UK nowadays is more of a local promotion, kind of, who do bring in
they tend to look at WWE, former WWE guys. That seems to be the angle they're going for. They don't really create cards that make me excited like RevPro do, but they create cards that they can draw more casual fans to. I think that'd be fair to say.
Yeah. These days, I don't have too much interest in IPW UK, but that said, they do manage to put on like 5 or 6 matches a year, which really seem intriguing, but I'm not going to go out and buy a DVD just for that one match. So this streaming service is I'll probably be subscribed to it like 1 month a year, and I'll pick catch out up all the matches from the year that I'm interested in. Yeah, you know, they have stuff like London Riots versus the Sumerian Death Squad. They've had Havoc versus Ospreay. They've had Chris Sabin versus Ospreay in the last year. So, you know, there's definitely stuff that I want to watch, but being on their previous DVD model, I wasn't getting a chance to watch, or wasn't willing to fork out the £15 for a DVD just for the single match. But what I'm really interested in terms of this streaming service is the archival content. As you said, from around 2006 or 7-ish to maybe like 2010, 2011, they were one of the top promotions in the UK. Maybe earlier than 6-7, actually. And they're yet to really get all their archival stuff up. I think they've only got like 4 or 5 shows that aren't from the last few years up. But I imagine there will be more there, and that's what I'm really looking forward to delving into. You've got a lot of like Super Dragon.
That was the first show was Super Dragon and Johnny Storm. It was like the first IPW UK show, I'm sure it was.
That's a pretty impressive match.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, so you start to buzz about your promotion, you start big. Think big.
I know El Generico had a lot of matches in IPW UK. Kevin Steen did as well. You had a handful of Japanese guys wrestling there over their history. Pac had a lot of his premier British matches in IPW UK, you know, the current Neville. So when they do get all that their archival shows up on demand, then that's definitely something I'm going to look forward to diving into, because there's a lot of great on paper matches that I've never seen that I'm very much looking forward to giving a watch.
I believe the price is the same as Progress. It's $7.95 dollars. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, like with Progress, it's not a major outlay of cash if you wanted to check out some IPW.
Mm. Yeah, if there's like a particular show. If there's like a particular show that like really gets some buzz, I'd be definitely tempted to pick it up and, you know, watch the show and then keep it for a little bit to watch the archival.
Just have a poke around and see what was on.
Like particular big matches. It's not something I'd permanently subscribe to by any means, though.
Yeah, the thing with all these on-demand services that are popping up now, a lot of people are complaining, saying there's too many of them. But when you really think about it, they're almost all of them cost less than just a DVD for a month's worth of subscription, and I don't think any of them have any commitment with them anymore. It's not like when the network originally started, where it was 6 month subscription. I think all of them are month to month now. So when you're thinking about it, so if you just
complain about having too much wrestling, what are they complaining about? I mean, yeah. I don't have time
too
to
much
watch it all, but
cheap wrestling.
But what is their complaint exactly? I don't get the mentality.
I guess some people are complaining that it's ending up costing them more, but I don't see how, unless they just watch. I mean, if you're watching more wrestling now because of it, then fair enough, but you're paying more and you're also consuming more, so it is hardly a shocker. You're probably getting a lot better value than you previously were.
Well, basically, they're just...
If you look at it like five...
They're just complaining about their own viewing habits, aren't they? So isn't that their own fault?
I guess so. Like 5 years ago, if a show got a bit of buzz from an indie promotion that you weren't usually watching, you'd buy the DVD, and it would cost more than a month's subscription now. So now, instead of buying each DVD that gets a lot of buzz, you subscribe to a subscription, and instead of just getting that one show, you have access to their entire archive. I mean, I'm loving the way independent wrestling's distribution of content is going.
It's not just independent wrestling, it's all wrestling. Video on demand is the way forward, and everyone's jumped on that bandwagon, and, you know, apart from like a few Japanese promotions that.
And PWG.
PWG, you can only get it on DVD, but they're special.
And it does benefit the promoters as well. They're maybe losing money on the DVD sales, but they are getting a potentially bigger audience that they can market to if they're smart enough. Like, they don't just have to market show to show now, they can market the on-demand service as something that they have to get. I think Progress have done that very well. They've, like, added extra content in, gotten the shows up pretty quickly. Like, if you market to a bigger audience, the bigger audience will come if you make it good enough. So it's not just a replacement for DVDs, it's almost like a different market altogether.
Yeah, especially for British companies where previously they were aiming at a far smaller market than, say, a US indie company, simply because there's less wrestling fans in the UK than there is in the US. But now you've got tons of subscribers. Well, I say tons, I don't know the figures, but there's at least a significant chunk of Progress whose on-demand subscribers will be not from the UK. They'll be international subscribers, and far more so than I would expect them were previously subscribing, previously buying DVDs from them from internationally. So for the UK companies, it's definitely opened up a far wider audience for them, and they're getting a lot more exposure and a lot more buzz, which is great for the UK scene as a whole.
It's a win all round. I noticed that Will Ospreay on the last Progress show was cutting a promo, and he said that when he was over for Bowler with PWG, that the boys were asking him about Progress because they watched it. So it shows the how far and wide the on demand is getting in terms of people watching it. Whereas before, I don't think people in America were buying DVDs from England ever. I don't think that's ever happened before.
No.
So this is a whole new market for them.
Yep. I guess, unless we've got anything else to say about streaming services in general, we can move on to our last real topic.
This would be the five-star wrestling tour, which is taking place in January. This is from a chap called Dan Hinkles, who lives in Dundee. He's like a games mogul, as it were. The company's called Serious Parody. They've been having sort of minor success with the wrestling manager games. And they've got a game coming out, which I think is called Five Star Wrestling, which they've convinced Rey Mysterio to be in. And from there, they've decided to do themselves a little wrestling tour. It's extremely ambitious. Considering they're a brand new promotion with no history whatsoever,
They've won one show in
Edinburgh, their second show ever is going to be at the Metro Arena in Newcastle, which has a capacity of 11,000. Just to put that into perspective, Insane Championship Wrestling drew 4,000, which has left people's jaws on the floor at how insanely big that number is. So they're immediately going, oh, yeah, we've this company's...
We can more than double that
with our second show. you kind of have to build up an audience a little bit more than that. They might have a dream match or a couple of dream matches sort of lined up. They've got AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio headlining two of their three shows against each other. But, you know, Rev Pro have had plenty of dream matches of that caliber, perhaps not with somebody quite as famous as Rey Mysterio, but they're never looking at drawing those numbers. And just booking those venues alone, it is going to put you down like £15,000 before you even start, before you even paid anyone to help you out or paid any wrestlers. You're already down just for booking a venue that size. So I don't know about you guys, but it seems,
Rey Mysterio
seems like madness.
Isn't going to be cheap either.
Well, Rey was charging $20,000 per show when he left the WWE. They've got him on three shows. Are they paying him $60,000 for this tour? I would...
Maybe they've got a bulk deal. Maybe he's reduced to only $50,000.
Yeah, you would hope they weren't paying him that much because they'll never get that back. I'd be surprised if they got the $15,000 back for, you know, hiring the arena in the first place. It's madness.
So we're looking at £30,000 of ticket sales to break even.
Pretty much.
With
that's
a one-man Rey Mysterio show.
Yeah, just Rey doing 619s by himself.
I mean, the cards they've got together and like the talent announced look really good, but Rev Pro are selling like just over 1,000 for some of their bigger shows, and they're pleased with the numbers they're doing. And like it's so ambitious, and
it's insane.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely insane.
It's crazy.
I don't think he's really thought this through at all.
No. The one thing that I've seen thrown out there as kind of like an explanation for the sheer insanity of this is that this is being put down not as a way to profitably run a show, but put down as marketing costs for the video game. But even so, this seems like a hell of an expensive way to go about doing that.
Is the video game going to be all that good, though? I mean, are they going to get that many sales?
It's not a particularly big video game, as far as I can tell. It's like a indie Kickstarter type thing. So, like,
I'm a wrestling fan, and I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, like, think about how niche the WWE video games are. I mean, they're big releases, but they're not, like, huge releases that you could attach to, like, a stadium show or anything. So, yeah, I'm skeptical, to say the least.
I mean, the guy, this Hinkles chap, I mean, he said that he's a big wrestling fan. So I understand that, you know, he's into the product and everything, so he's booking the right people, he's saying the right things, but to think that you can actually get anywhere close to a that size of crowd is mind-boggling.
If he draws 3,000 people to one of these events, I'll think he's done well.
Yeah, 3,000 would be amazing.
But that's probably not going to be anywhere near enough to what he needs to be profitable. So.
I think tickets start at £30, which I know that's a little higher than some of the other promotions that are around. But
that's probably just going to mean an even more empty arena.
Yeah. You can see where he's going with the marketing, though. I mean, they've clearly gone after Rey because he's a household name. And they think that they can sell a lot of tickets based on that. But, I mean, let's look at TNA. What kind of numbers do TNA do when they tour over here? It's nowhere near that.
No. And that was even when they had Hulk Hogan.
And they've got television.
They would.
And they're a renowned company. And they might not be particularly, you know, held in any kind of respect, but And it might be worth checking this out just to see what a complete car crash it turns into. But I don't really understand where the funding's coming from. I don't really see what the long-term plan is. And we look at where he's running, for God's sake. It's just in the middle of January, which is the worst month for attendance for anything. And it's in between the NXT tour in December and TNA touring in like the end of January.
It's not just one show either. It's three shows in a row.
Three shows.
So you're not going to get...
3 days.
Like, you're not going to get, like, people who might have gone, oh, there's this really big show up in Newcastle. I live in Liverpool. I'll make the trip across. No, I'll just wait 2 days and go to the Liverpool show.
They've not even spread them out.
And then the day after...
They're all in the north of England.
And then the day after these three shows are the Rev Pro show. So you're probably not going to get many people travelling up from the south, because apart from Rey Mysterio, a lot of the...
Well, I think everyone else has worked for Rev Pro. You've got Morrison on there. I'm trying to remember who else is on the cards now.
Styles?
Yeah, AJ's on there.
Jay Lethal.
It's guys who've worked for Rev Pro. So if you wanted to see them...
And are working for Rev Pro.
You'll have seen them already. So I really don't see how they're going to do anything other than a complete disaster with these shows.
I think we could possibly put the label Vanity Project on this.
I know...
A very expensive Vanity Project.
It's been compared to 1PW, but, I mean, even with that, he was booking guys that he liked, like he'd seen on TV. This is Stephen Gauntley for 1PW. So in that way, it was kind of the same sort of markish booking that you've got with this 5-star. But he was booking it in the Doncaster Dome, which I don't know if either of you have been there, but it's like the capacity is 2,000 people. It's relatively cheap. And they were happy if they filled it, which they kind of did to start with. There's just, you can't make that comparison. It's madness. I don't think I've ever seen anything
this
so ridiculously stupid in a professional wrestling for a startup to go, we're going to immediately become the number one promotion outside of the WWE in the world overnight. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, that is basically what they're saying.
That's what they're looking at.
They want to run on a New Japan level.
They're looking basically at booking arenas that the WWE book. I've lost the words now. I mean, he's thinking big, bless him. But I don't see how he can afford to do it. And what he hopes to accomplish by even attempting it. If I was starting a wrestling promotion, this is not how I'd do it, even if I had a lot of money. I mean, even if a problem and I could book whoever I wanted, I still wouldn't book them into an 11,000 seat arena with like no background, no history. It wasn't until like last week, I think it was, that I even heard about this, and I'm like really like tuned into what's happening in wrestling. How are they going to sell that many tickets? It's just insane. This is madness,
it is.
Isn't it?
It is. Like the Edinburgh show, I think they ran in a smaller arena, which I can't remember exactly what it was called, but I looked it up a few days ago, and I think it was like 6K capacity, which in comparison to these seems small, but they're still a crazy number to go for your
first
show.
That's ridiculously ambitious. You want like 1,000 tops, really, unless you're going completely all out, and which he is. But even so, like 2,000, maybe 3,000, and that's as much as you could possibly hope to do ever.
And this is really, like, I'm sure if the show actually does happen, which I'm kind of skeptical that these shows will actually occur.
Maybe let me put it like this.
He gets close to the time and sees the ticket sales and goes, oh, shit.
If you live in Newcastle, Sheffield or Liverpool, on the day of the show, just go to the building and they'll give you a ticket. Because these are going to be papered. There's absolutely no way they're going to get enough people in for it not to be papered. Just turn up. Just turn up at the building on the day. Just walk up and go, any free tickets? Yeah, certainly, go in. Because that's what they're going to have to do. Otherwise, it's going to be embarrassing looking. And even then, they're still not going to be. They're not going to have 11,000 people there.
I was talking to Ian on Twitter, who lives in Edinburgh, and apparently for their first show up in Edinburgh, they were doing buy one get free tickets for free in the last week of sales. So not only is it buyer beware, because there's a chance that these shows get cancelled because, you know, there's kind of a track record of that sort of thing happening here in the UK. Like, you're looking at Super Clash just from this year, where they cancelled things because they didn't get enough ticket sales, and they'd been over ambitious in the talent they were bringing in with the New Japan talent. A few years back, you had the Tidal Wrestling Tour, which was very import heavy, and they had to cancel a load of dates there. And then, of course, further back, you've got more and more examples of that sort of thing. There is a chance that these shows get cancelled, so I wouldn't buy a ticket in advance, especially as there's no chance that these shows are getting close to selling out. It's not like you don't buy now and you might miss out on getting a ticket. Chances are these tickets are going to get a lot cheaper the closer you get to
the actual event. Ringside is like £150. It's something ridiculous like that. I don't know how they can get away with charging that. But, I mean, you're going to be empty at ringside. So, you know, if you're going to buy a seat, just buy, like, anywhere, and you'll probably end up pushed down to front anyway.
That seems like almost like WWE prices when they come to
That's one of the meet and greet packages, isn't it? One of the whole day meet and greet. But, I don't know what they're doing, really. I don't even know if there's anyone useful backstage.
I think we're just dumbfounded by this.
Like, if they do happen, go on the day of the show, as Arn said, and because it will probably be a good show. Like, the talent they've got on the cards, very, very high level of talent. Aesthetically, it will be a great show, I assume, all three of them. But, man, is it mind-boggling from a financial perspective.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Financially, it makes no sense.
Like, people talk about how crazy 1PW was with, like, bringing in Ric Flair for a stupidly high amount of money. This is, like, that turned up, like, tenfold. This is insane. I'm very intrigued to see what actually happens.
Oh, it's going to be a car crash. It's going to be wonderful.
From a complete car crash perspective. But I worry for the guy.
I don't know how much of his money
is in it. I hope he knows what he's got himself into.
I'm not sure how much of his money is actually in it. But you look at what's happening here, and he's going to lose money. I don't know, maybe he's got a backer. Yeah. But, yeah.
Whoever's money's involved,
you're going to lose it.
They're probably going to lose most of it, if not all. So, on that happy note, I think we're going to start ending the show. Start wrapping
I thought
up.
We were quite positive going into that last segment there, so I'm sorry for dragging it all down.
Well, we'll leave on the positive note that the shows themselves will probably be
I'm sure they will be excellent entertainment and not at all hilarious.
Like, you're seeing AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio on one of them. You're seeing Jay Lethal versus AJ Styles in on one of them. You're seeing Jay Lethal versus Rey Mysterio. You're seeing John Morrison, but like, I forget which guys are on which card, but you have the four: John Morrison, Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, and Jay Lethal, and they seem to be rotating in and out across the three shows, facing each other in what will be amazing singles matches, but probably in front of three quarter or more empty arenas.
There might actually be some British wrestlers on there somewhere. I know Marty Scurll is booked.
There's a who's who of the British scene, actually. From like Will Ospreay's on there, Tyler Bate, I think I saw on there. I'll just get the list up now.
It is heavily reliant upon the American talent.
Which, with those size of arenas, they have to be. But I don't think even with, you know, they have the very best free agents available in the world, with the possible exception of some of the New Japan talent. But like, you're not getting bigger stars that aren't in WWE than AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio. But even so, this is crazy. Where's the list of guys?
On the notes for this show, Rob has put overly ambitious down for
ambitious is the kind word.
Yeah. I think.
Right, so here's the list of guys. They've got AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio, Jay Lethal, John Morrison, Carlito, Magnus, Will Ospreay, Joe Kofi, Marty Scurll, and many, many more.
Until the money runs out.
Which was probably quite a while ago.
It was just after you said Rey Mysterio.
It was just after you said the arena.
Interesting to see Carlito on there. It's, you can see what he's doing in terms of like former WWE talent, including Rey Mysterio, Carlito, and there's two guys who go on a flyer that goes around Newcastle Town Centre.
Has Carlito even like appeared in a wrestling show in the last 2 or 3 years? I can't imagine. He's...
I've seen him in PCW once or twice, I think.
Oh yeah.
He still has name recognition, I suppose.
But who is Carlito drawing that isn't going because they see Rey Mysterio?
It just kind of, it's someone else to put on the poster. So you're seeing Rey Mysterio, it's and also, so it's like, oh, there's more than
but
one.
He's not on any of the posters. He's not on any of the posters. It's been Morrison, Mysterio, Lethal, and Styles on all of them. But I guess they could have new posters. But no matter what posters they have, this is going to be a disaster. That's not me hoping it's a disaster, but it's an inevitability.
I'm afraid so.
Like, I'm not sure there are 10,000 people who go to the WWE shows in the UK.
There are two inevitabilities
in life. It's around that number.
Death and taxes, and this is going to be death.
All right. On a more positive note, our next episode, which will be dropping probably towards the end of November, is going to be talking about Fear and Loathing. We're going to have a guest on for that, Mark Anthony of Catchcast from Pro Wrestling, the PWN Radio.
Does that mean I get bumped again?
Who's? I don't know who's getting bumped. Maybe me. I don't watch ICW.
I've been on every single one, so I'm the Iron Man. I'm the Tetsujin of Brit Rest Roundtable. So,
is that what Tetsujin means? I should have.
Yeah, it means Iron Man.
Does that mean Iron Man?
I know this because of Tekken.
This is great insight. Great insight, guys. This is why you should listen to this podcast. So we're going to be talking Fear and Loathing on the next episode with Mark Anthony. That is a complete success for British wrestling, selling I think it was nearly 5,000 tickets for their biggest show of the year, with not a huge reliance on imports. You've got obviously Drew McIntyre with the WWE name, but
just Rhino.
Yeah, they've got Rhino there.
The show is pretty much built around like Grado challenging for the title.
You did have like Mick Foley there, but yeah, it was primarily Scottish guys drawing Scottish fans, yeah. And that's great to see.
That has always worked up there. Just not to this
degree. Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a lot more detail on the next episode, and like a full review of the Fear and Loathing show, and just like what ICW has managed to achieve with that. It's going on pretty much right now, maybe in like a couple of hours as we're recording it, so like we don't know the results yet, but on the next episode we'll be doing a full review, and I'll be getting a crash course in ICW ahead of that, so it's pretty exciting.
Right, so plugs. Arn, do you want to go first?
Well, since we've been talking about 1PW, you can always get the 1PW book available from Amazon, which I've forgotten the name of again. All or Nothing. There you go. All or Nothing. Available from Amazon. It's a good read inside a promotion, and that whole thing with Ric Flair, that's covered in there in great detail, including his what he was paid and what for.
So ahead of this complete disaster, you can read about an old complete disaster that happened in this country with wrestling. Do you want to throw out your Twitter name, or do you not want people following you?
I'm not really that bothered, but it is @ArnoldFurious, so that should be pretty easy to remember.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter @AnotherOllie, one word, to hear about me tweeting at 4 a.m. about how I want to watch the Golden State Warriors, the basketball team, who the main VOW podcast have been raving about. and one of my articles is being published in the Tag Rope magazine, which is coming out in the next few days, which is all very exciting. It's about Tetsuya Naito's new character, and it's an awesome magazine. You should check it out, definitely. Tagrope.com, pre-order.
Yep, and you can find almost all of my work over on voicesofwrestling.com and the Voice of Wrestling forums. But I also now have to remember to throw out the plug for MLW, where I've started doing a Japanese wrestling podcast, because this one clearly isn't enough. A Japanese wrestling podcast called The Eastern Lariat with Strigger, who runs, or in part runs, the Japanese section of Cage Match, the internet wrestling database. So if you haven't had enough of listening to my voice from this, you can listen to me some more over there. We alternate between free episodes and VIP member episodes. So the most recent ones are free episodes. You can just search MLW on any podcast app or iTunes or whatever and see that. Aside from that, voiceofwrestling.com for pretty much all your wrestling reviewing needs and columns and such. And you can talk to all three of us over on the forums. And yeah, my Twitter is @TheRDouble, and you can not hear me tweeting about basketball, but about wrestling and football, there is lots of that. British football, of course, the one played with ball-shaped things and with your feet, more so than with your hands and with more of an egg-shaped thing. But hey, I think we're about ready to wrap up. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.